You mean like sort of on...
I guess I love you.
Tragedy struck.
I see you haven't lost your touch.
Hello, everybody. It is Adam here with Project Nerd. And today we are very happy to have a special guest with us. We have Brian Polito from Coffin Comics. You know him from Lady Death. Brian, welcome, man. Thanks for taking some time to chat with us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to all the fellow nerds out there.
Hey, well, we got a bunch of them, and they love hearing about new awesome stuff coming out, and we know you always have something good for us.
We're always trying to crank it out, man.
Excellent. All right, so before we get into the new, I do want to give you a chance to brag on how things have been going for you. It's been a few years since we've talked at C2E2, and I know back then you were just getting up a new book going. I think we were talking La Muerta back then. Obviously, Lady Death is going strong. Tell us about how things have been for you, man.
Well, things have been incredible. I think we are now entering our fifth year of publishing new comics through Coffin Comics. And this is coming out of the fiery wreckage of a previous publishing relationship. I forged Coffin and really not knowing what the landscape would look like, really threw my hat into using crowdfunding as a methodology for reaching folks. And man, it's been amazing. So we just recently wrapped up Lady Death Blasphemy Anthem, which was the 10th chapter in Lady Death's Undead Life. And that book has gone on to be the number one most crowdfunded comic book in history through Kickstarter. And if you take a look at the overall category of, they call it all comics, it's the number 15 overall, because that would include web comics, anthologies, and some publishers who actually fund their entire line. So that's incredible. I actually wasn't following it from that perspective. And a regular backer pointed it out to us on the last day of the campaign. And we're like, whoa. So Coffin occupies 7 of the top 10 spots. So it's incredible.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's amazing. This capital has allowed us to reinvest into our company. We have a place called HQ, which is a dedicated warehouse and office space where we, like lunatics, are refining every day exactly how it is that we pick, pack, ship, and fulfill things. And people seem to like what we do now, but we are always looking for some sort of incremental change. But HQ also houses my archive. So it's all things like that. Crowdfunding in particular, and just reaching out to folks directly, has afforded us that luxury of this particular life where we get to tell these stories and get to do these cool experiential improvements. This year we had a dedicated event called Fiend Fest, which was a roaring success. And we recently announced that in 2021, we are doing a new event called Sworn Fest. So all these great things have really grown out of the ability to connect directly with potential readers, collectors, fiends, and the sworn. So it's been an incredible ride.
That's awesome. And congratulations, man.
Thank you.
I know we definitely talked about it last time. You did have a well-publicized falling out with a previous publisher, and we'll leave that back there where it is. And looking at your success now, it seems, I don't know, it's not easy, but it seems like it is right in your wheelhouse, being able to connect and talk to people. I know when we see you at shows, there's always folks at your table. We see a million pictures of you with fans and
clowning around
backers and stuff like that after shows. So it seems like a real good niche and a great fit for you personally.
Thank you for saying that. And I think it's true. When I wake up and I look at the sort of things that I have to do every day, it just falls right comfortably into my wheelhouse, whether it's my direct connect, which I've always enjoyed. And even things like mail order. I've always adored mail order, and I've had some form of a mail order company since December of 91. So between crowdfunding plus our regular mail order, which has gotten turbocharged because of that, I mean, it's just the sort of thing I like thinking about all the time. Like we do internally, how can we improve this piece, improve that piece? And it is an obsession. So it's this particular era of comics publishing, whether it's telling the stories I want to tell or making sure that the item that a person ordered is packed in a pristine manner, like all those things really count for me. So it's a fun obsession every day.
I like that. Well, and that's definitely something that I wouldn't have thought about, the packing of comics, because, you know, when you buy good comics, and certainly anyone who's seen any of your Kickstarter campaigns knows, you can not only get your basic cover, but you can get the blank covers, and the covers already, you know, the metallic covers and the jewel covers and everything. You've got a great selection.
All kinds of crazy. Thank you. All those exotic editions we produce.
Yeah. And you want to get those, but I've bought stuff online. I buy, you know, nice posters and stuff like that. And it comes and it's almost always squashed, or it's got a nick in it and something like that. And it's, it just hurts so much when you get that, and it's something you've wanted. And so it's good to hear people who are actually thinking about how to improve those processes and make things better for us on the back end, and probably for y'all as well, in terms of how to pack it, how to make it work better for you too.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, we look at it as a customer service issue. Mm-hmm. So if we make the coolest comic on earth, and if people can't get it in their hands and it's in decent shape, we fail. And we can't really abdicate our responsibility to the shipping service provider. We got to take accountability. So we measure this stuff, and we measure any type of customer service issue that comes in. We're trying to recognize if there's a trend or if there's something that we could improve. And since we do measure it, what little ones we do have, we're able to really fix. And hopefully people do know who ordered from us. If we have done something just stupid or screwed up, we'll always honor it. We'll always take care of folks. Right. We're pretty much, as long as the other side is fair and reasonable, there's nothing that we won't do that is legal to satisfy somebody.
We have a small disclaimer there. We got to keep
that disclaimer. Mm-hmm. We're not willing to do illegal things to satisfy the customer, but everything that's legal, for sure.
Well, I tell you, Brian, you guys do fantastic work, and we always love getting to see it. And so thank you for that. And thank you for putting in effort. It's, you know, it's definitely appreciated from your fans, and 7 of the top 10 spots, you can see that they care about it, and they appreciate y'all as well. But let's talk into what's new now for you guys. Like you said, y'all are always doing something. And so your newest story, newest character, newest idea, newest obsession for you, that's going to be Hellwitch, right?
That is true. So our next upcoming crowdfunding program, well, here are the stakes as we see it. Right now we are printing Lady Death Blasphemy Anthem with the expressed intention of delivering it to everybody, getting it out the door at least by October 21, which would be the quickest turn time on a Lady Death kick ever. We'd shave off 10 working days. We've been working really hard behind the scenes to do exactly that, shave off 10 working days, which would put Lady Death in particular shipping on the 6th week. And I apologize in advance to everybody for sounding so nerdy about this stuff, but I do like this stuff. So that's the objective. And then on October 23rd, the comic gods shining down upon us. We always are humble before the capricious comic gods, but we will launch Hellwitch the Forsaken, number one, which is the second chapter in the life of Hellwitch. Okay. And the premise goes something like this. To avenge her murdered lover, Hellwitch slaughtered a queen and burnt her own hive to the ground. Now she has become Hell's most notorious rebel, with a price on her head to match. Forced to wander the wastelands, Hellwitch finds herself haunted by old enemies. And they'll stop at nothing to finish her and butcher the last survivors of her hive. A bevy of beautiful Hellborn, too innocent for the perils of the underworld. Can Hellwitch defeat her ruthless adversaries, or will a twisted rival for her past annihilate Hellwitch's very soul? So that's the basic premise of the next chapter in her life. And in each chapter, we're actually seeing the lessons learned for her to become a villain. Okay. So this particular chapter is going to explore the attempt at annihilating her compassion. So this is a fun character to write, because clearly she's not only an anti-hero, she's a villain. And what we're looking at is the odyssey of how she becomes a villain. And That kind of really makes it pretty, pretty interesting, because this isn't the hero's journey at all. It's quite the opposite.
Yeah, we usually see that in reverse, right? We see the villain learn compassion and learn empathy and learn all the steps to allow them to become, you know, even an anti-hero or a, you know, neutral character. They grow that direction. This is kind of going in reverse there. So turning the
reverse
head a bit.
Yes. And, you know, we have Hellwitch's story mapped out for about 5 years. So what I find interesting about a character like this is the ups and the downs and the turns. I mean, I could tell you that I really enjoyed Robert E. Howard's Conan series. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what I liked about it in terms of storytelling. First of all, he would jump around in Conan's life, and we could see Conan at a young age. We could see him, Conan, as a king, and we could see sometimes the lion in winter. And I liked that it jumped around. And I liked actually that character in particular, he was capricious also. I mean, sometimes he was good, sometimes he was bad, sometimes he was an anti-hero. And at some point, that thread somewhat influences what I'm interested in showing people. Because I think other companies really have other things covered. Like the Marvel and DC guys, they have heroes covered and anti-heroes. So I think partially what we have to do is provide something that people aren't getting in other places. And that is really the exploration of the psyche and what people are willing to do to achieve their ends. So I think that's what people kind of count on with a character like Hellwitch or Lady Death for that matter, where their agendas and missions change. They learn things and they're not really learning conventional things. So that's a little taste of the story for the next Hellwitch. And the creative team we have a pretty consistent creative team. So the returning creative team, myself, Mike McLean, writers, Diego Bernard, illustrator, he's phenomenal. He just came off of two chapters of Lady Death and he's diving into Hellwitch. Mm-hmm. Returning colorist CC De La Cruz and the rock of our team, veteran letterer Marshall Dillon, who has lettered every Coffin project. And happy to have him, proud to have him, humbled to have him on board.
It is a great team because, like I said, we've seen all of the stuff that a lot of those guys have been able to do, that y'all have been able to do together. And it's fantastic that you're able to kind of keep that group moving forward at the same time. Now, does that make the creative process easier for you and for y'all throughout the steps of the comic? Is it nice having worked with the illustrator and the letterer and you guys kind of know what you need from each other as you move forward?
Yeah, it's absolutely great. I mean, first of all, in my view, the A team, but then also with Mike McLean as my co-writer, the cool advantage we have is he lives one town over. And we just meet at HQ at a certain time every week or 2 weeks. And we do what's called, quote unquote, beat the story out. And then we just trade it back and forth. He does a piece. I do a piece. I don't know who begins and ends it at this point. So that's super convenient. And then working with a talent like Diego Bernard, what I like about working with an illustrator of his talent is we can say very, very little, but it really inspires the imagery for him. And sometimes that doesn't exactly work for other people. Sometimes you could say 100 words and it still just doesn't get something across. With him, very little produces a pretty incredible effect. And then from my perspective, CC De La Cruz, we are working with one of the best colorists on earth. And she also, CC out of Madrid, Spain, has worked on every Coffin project since the beginning. So in one way, shape, or form, whether it's covers or the interiors. And then veteran letterer, Marshall Dillon, same thing. You know, he is the bedrock. And it is great to work with folks who return. And there's a shorthand, I think, that we all develop together. And so it's super cool. And even when we're starting up a new project, I'll give you an example. La Muerta illustrator Joel Gomez is working on a new project for us for next year, and it's called Untitled Extreme Horror Project. So we're not revealing the title just yet, but it is my personal return to doing a male horror character. So I actually haven't written a male or invented a male horror character since Evil Ernie. And this new character inside of Untitled Extreme Horror Project is my answer to a character, to a male horror character for our time. So he has been, this character has been in the story, has been in active development since about, gosh, I've been having it in development for about a year. And then we started getting into active development with Joel in March. And now we are deep into the first chapter of that character's story. So to be able to work with Joel, someone who we have experience with, it does give it a shorthand. And, you know, since we all kind of know each other and maybe our creative quirks and stuff, it also allows us to kind of navigate those areas together.
Yeah, definitely. And I will tell the folks that are listening to us, I have got a sneak peek at a few different pages. I think it looks like maybe a cover and a couple interior pages with some good panels. And they're gorgeous, man. I'm telling you.
Thanks.
Diego.
Thank you.
Crushed it.
Yeah, he's good. He did crush it.
And the shading from CC, especially when you get into skulls, like, and there's there's a bunch of them, a decent number of them at least, and all the little nooks and cracks and lines and things like that. I mean, it's a very impressive work so far.
Thanks. Yeah, those guys and gals it's quite a team. There's this neat page in there where our characters are kind of traveling across a wasteland on a train track, let's say, and there's this nasty dead hell beast on the track that they have to get away. And the coloring for that thing is fantastic. It's so icky looking. It just looks real. Fun stuff.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's something different, something you don't see anybody else doing, really. I mean, the group of people that are doing the kind of stuff that you do is very small, and then continuing even into the future, giving us a sneak peek at stuff you're looking at for another year or two away. That's man, Brian, thank you so much, man. We appreciate that kind of info.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, I'm plotted. I have the master plot going. This is no joke. The master plot of the Coffin Verse until I'm 83. I'm 57 now. I'm not joking. And then I have it fairly well plotted for 5 years.
Right.
So we kind of know what we got to hit. And these days we present the material differently than we have in the past. You know, we used to be part of the put out books monthly thing, and we just don't do that anymore. What we do now is we put out books in what we call chapters. So they're longer stories, and they'll come out. Coffin currently offers stuff about once, new thick stories about once every 90 days. So two Lady Death chapters and then two other characters. Truth to be told, and I can tell you this exclusively and reveal that we are looking to do more than that. Not a ton more, but even an increase of one more story or two more stories increases our output by 50%. So we're carefully taking a look at that. But it seems like the plot lines and where they're heading may require us to do just a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
Yeah, exclusive info from Brian Polito on where Coffin Comics wants to get to. Well, I'll tell you what, Brian, I have no artistic ability, but if you guys really get hard up for somebody to help out, I'd be happy to do a little work for you.
Right on. Sounds good.
So you said you're doing larger stories. Hellwitch the Forsaken, what are we talking, 40 pages there?
So Hellwitch the Forsaken starts out at 40 pages, but if we hit certain stretch goals, I would like to expand it to 48. So in total, ideally, if we hit some of our goals, we'd be a 48-page full-color, square-bound, original graphic novel.
Wow. Now, can you give us a little insight on what some of those rewards or goals might be for the book?
I can tell you some of the cool contributing cover artists. Okay. And the first thing I could tell you is that Lucio Perillo has contributed the cover to what we call the legend, ultimate legend tier. So the ultimate legend tier, as we've constructed it, is very limited. So in this case, it looks like we're going to be doing an edition limited to 60 copies in total. And so that legend tier is going to be made up of four covers, four editions, three by Lucio, and one by a mystery artist that will not be revealed until it's in people's hands. However, it'll be cool. Now, if you know Lucio Perilio's work, this is a guy who's associated with print runs in the 20 and 30,000s. And what I thought would be really fun is to make his book in his cover as limited as humanly possible and then retire it as a cover forever. So that's our commitment. Lucio's done a beautiful cover. Here is some of the other contributors to this Kickstarter program. So the aforementioned Diego Bernard, happy to welcome back Elias Chatzoudas, CC, of course. Dan Feldmeyer and Marat Michaels are handling the homage cover. And the homage cover this time around is going to be an homage to Hulk 181, the classic Wolverine Wendigo cover.
Okay.
Ali Garza is contributing a cover. Sun K, who is an incredible artist from Canada, who's contributed a fair amount to Coffin and who is just now getting the acclaim she deserves, has contributed our quote-unquote risque cover. The main edition soft cover will be by Mike Chrome, and it colored by CC De La Cruz. One of the finest, it's the coolest cover. I know I'm being biased, but it's so cool. Other contributors include Dawn McTeague. She's contributing our holofoil cover. Dan Mendoza, who known for his work at Still Ill Princess, including Sad Girl, Psycho Baby, is contributing a very risque set that we like to call Scissor Sisters. So you'll have to see that. John Boy Myers is contributing our metal edition, and it's insane. John Boy Myers, for better or for worse, I met John Boy Myers just going to San Diego Comic-Con, picking up my credentials, and I really wasn't familiar with his work. So I did get familiar with his work, and I was completely blown away. Recently, he contributed a Lady Death cover to Blasphemy Anthem, but I'm really happy to tell you guys and gals out there that John Boy is doing more work for us. His stuff floors me.
Nice.
Other frequent contributors include Monty Moore, the aforementioned Marat Michaels, color by Ula Moss, Paolo Pantalena, and RF Prianto as a team producing our hardcover, and some other cool folks. We'll leave some to be surprises, but the fine painter Lorenzo Spolongia, Nathan Zerdy, Jesse Wichman, and Anna Zuko. So there is no lack of incredible talent associated with this particular program.
For sure. You guys are pulling out all the stops again. And it sounds like if somebody couldn't find a cover that they wanted from you, it's just not going to be out there for them. You're going to have plenty of options.
Perhaps.
Folks.
I mean, Adam, it's fair to say that every time we put out a campaign, we're always swinging for the fences. And you also wanted to know what kind of stretch goals that we have to offer. And the best thing that I could tell people is please tune in, because one of the ways we reveal our stretch goals is by mystery. So every time we unlock one stretch, we announce that there's another one forthcoming. And I'd love to keep it that way. It gives people a reason to come back and check in with us. I will say, though, for this particular campaign, because this Mike Chrome Hellwish cover is so insane, we're making it a beautiful full-color, dye-sublimated, printed T-shirt, and with a nice Hellwish logo in the front. Mm-hmm. It's just so heavy metal looking. It had to be done. I personally have to wear a Hellwish shirt.
Right, you're going to need that under your vest, right? Ready to go.
Absolutely. I do. Oh, I have to. So that's where it grows from, too. It's like, I have to have it, so we got to make it.
Right. If I'm going to have it, other people are going to want it.
I hope so. But it starts there. We got to be excited. Exactly. We expect everyone else to be excited.
So you said you wanted folks to be able to check in. We're going to do the Hellwitch Forsaken number one on Kickstarter, October 23rd. That's a Wednesday for everybody out there. And that's going to be...
We will launch it. Yeah, we'll launch it at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Let's see here. It'll be 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah. Yeah, that's before the change. The change happens in November.
Right. Perfect. All right. Anything else we need to know about this book, Brian?
No, sir. Just, if you like heavy metal inspired inspired supernatural comics. This particular one is for adults. It is risque in nature. We're definitely inspired by the Warren creepy and eerie magazines and heavy metal of my youth. So it's a little edgier than the other material that we put out, and that is specifically by design.
Right. Right. It's not accidentally that way.
Nope. Well, and it's not for kids.
And we are excited, as always, whenever you have new stuff coming out. I know there'll be several of our team that will be taking advantage of that Kickstarter, I'm sure, and looking forward to see you at cons in the next couple of months. Are you going to be anywhere in particular coming up?
Well, it looks like I am going to be in two places. Upcoming October 3rd through 6th, I will be at New York Comic Con in Artist Valley, L19. I am flanked by Dawn McCaig and Billy Tucci. Very good company to be in. And then the second appearance that I'll be making and the final appearance for the year will be at Tucson Comic Con, which is November 1st through 3rd, which takes place in Tucson, Arizona. That happens to be a convention that myself and my wife co-own with another couple, Teresita and Mike Olivares. And it is a fun convention. This year, our guests include Mark, Wade, Jill Thompson, and cast members from Star Wars and other crazy, fun, wonderful geek culture stuff. I mean, just the list goes on. James O'Barr, Chiara Battista, Randy Emberlin. This is Tucson's in its actual 12th year. And it's a phenomenal regional convention that recalls the fun, friendly conventions of yesteryear.
That's amazing. I had no idea that you own and ran a convention as well. What made you kind of launch into that?
Well, I think in part, both myself and my wife have event planning background in a sense. In a former career, I was what's called an assistant director for commercials and music videos. Wow. And that just gave us the background in event planning and assembling all kinds of assets and what have you. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like a natural thing. And I mean, it's worked out really great. And the convention grows a little bit every year. And it also has just trained us to do things like our spinoff events, like Fiend Fest and the upcoming Sworn Fest in 2021. It just gives us that background to manage events. I've also, in my past, 2005, I co-founded a horror and science fiction film festival that continues to this day. And that was also part of the background with events planning. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's others that I'm forgetting, but there's other events or business enterprises that we're involved with, some, you know, like International Horror Sci-Fi Film Festival, which I retired from, but did co-found. So yeah, we do have an events planning background.
And every time I talk to you, I come away more and more impressed, Brian. And it's really too bad that you can't find something to help keep yourself busy over there, buddy.
Yeah. That's funny. I don't know about you, but I can only speak for myself. Like, I grew up in the New Jersey Shore, and I simply come from a blue-collar family. And my dad and my mother really instilled a very intense work ethic. I don't even know if it was conscious or it just was in our family DNA. As I've met other family members, you know, on both sides, it just seemed to be a trait. So it's not like I have a choice in the matter. It's like I'm waking up every day and I'm going to go get it somewhere. Whatever it is, like I'm getting it. And by design, like we believe in like work hard, play hard. So
right.
Yeah, I'm always up for something.
That's the way to do it. Anything worth doing right is what my dad always told me. So I definitely understand where you're coming from, man. Well, again, you know, we here love all the stuff that you do. Now I want to get to Tucson to a convention. That might be a little bit harder for me now, but maybe some of our team will be able to take advantage of it. Come out and see what you got going on over there as well. Because everything that we've seen from you, we've loved. You do, again, fantastic work. Your attention to detail is great. And we now know goes all the way to how the books are packaged, how they're mailed, all of the details that you have your fingerprints on all of it. And that explains why it's so fantastic, man.
Thanks, dude. Well, definitely I give a big up to our team. We've established pretty high standards, but everybody kind of work and hire people who equally like to work this hard. But in conclusion, what I'd like to do is I'd like to say big up to one of my boys out there in Project Nerd, and that's Gallo, fresh out of Chicago. That's my boy, and I just want to say big up and thank you to him for everything.
Oh, we love Gallo.
Yep. Yeah, he's a good dude, man. He's just a good guy.
Well, Brian, again, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you chatting with us about everything you've got going on. I was thinking this was just going to be a short little conversation, but basically every time we sit down with you, we end up talking for 30, 45 minutes, no problem.
We got into it.
Yeah, we love it. We're looking forward to the new Hell Witch and to see those copies of Lady Death coming out just before then. So everybody, check out Kickstarter on October 23rd. Write yourself a note. Put a Google Calendar reminder, iCalendar, whatever your messaging system you use. Get yourself a reminder. So on October 23rd, you know to go check out Kickstarter and get your Hellwitch edition locked in, ready to go.
Well, Adam, I'd like to thank you guys so much, and I really appreciate you having an open door policy with me. So just want to say you guys have been great. I've been Brian Polito. I'll holler at you later.
Take care, buddy.